Bill Oden, August 19, 2018.
I would ask you to turn to Mark chapter 4. Beginning in verse 35. A passage of scripture that we're probably very familiar with. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came upon, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. Verse 40 and 41. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." I would venture to say that during the past few days, in every one of our lives, there are things that have happened that have really brought distress to our lives. In this account, Jesus is in a boat. He's probably tired from all the work that he's been doing. And so he goes to the stern of the boat and lays down and goes to sleep. Now you understand that the fishermen that are with him, four of them are professionals. They fish all the time. That's their livelihood. But something happens on the sea. A storm comes. And all of a sudden, they become afraid because of the tremendous wind. And it's swamping the boat with water. And they become afraid. And they go to Jesus and they ask him, "Lord, wake up. Do you not care that we're perishing or that we're going to be drowned?" I would imagine that is a question that every one of us at one time in our life has asked. "Lord, where are you? Lord, why is it that I'm going through this very difficult time? Lord, I don't understand. Why is it that here's a 22-year-old man that for no reason at all someone just shoots him? Lord, do you understand that if this person dies, these children are going to be orphaned? Lord, do you not care that I have cancer? Lord, do you not care that my wife has left me? Lord, why is it that you're letting my children suffer so because of the disease that they have in their body? Lord, are you asleep? Are you there? Have you not asked that question in the course of your life? If you're young, maybe not, but the time will come. Have you had doubts as to whether or not, does God really care about me? Why is it that man is inhumane to other people? I think one of the greatest tragedies in life as we know it, because it is part of our history, was that time during Hitler's reign. We call it the Holocaust. When millions upon millions of people were marched to gas chambers, it was the idea of exterminating a race of people. Can you imagine them asking, God, where are you? Why are all these things happening? The story of his little girl. She went to get a shot with a vaccine. And the nurse came at her with the needle. And she backed up and she said, no, no, no. And her mother said, Susie, we don't tell people no. That's not nice. And so the nurse comes at her again. And she says, no, thank you. No, thank you. Sometimes we would like to say, no, thank you, Lord. I really don't want this. I don't want to go through this. It's difficult in the society in which we live, the world has just really fallen apart. Why is it that we see all of this injustice, as we call it? You see, there was a time when we walked, not you and I, but when the human race walked in a paradigm where there was no sin. But because of our own selfishness, we messed it up. We lost that paradigm. And sometimes we think because of the fact that Jesus died that we shouldn't have to suffer. We shouldn't have to go through bad things. Bad things shouldn't happen to us. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus didn't die so that you might not get cancer. Jesus didn't die to keep you from going bankrupt. Jesus didn't die to stop hatred as far as your neighbor is concerned. He didn't die to keep people from getting drunk on alcohol. When you live your life as a Christian, the word Christian is so important. You have Christ in your life. All of these people out here in the world that are going through all kinds of things, and you can, all you have to do is just turn on your radio or your television and just listen for a little bit, and what are you going to hear? You're not going to hear a whole lot of good news. You're going to hear about all the bad things that are happening to people and what people are doing to people. I can't imagine the Holocaust. How many million people lost their lives? The word in the Greek means complete burnt offering. An offering unto God. All of these people lost their lives at the will of one man. How terrible. Why is it that we think in our lives that we're not supposed to go through bad things? That we're not supposed to suffer? You see, we live in kind of a utopia here in the States because we are blessed with so many things. But what is a utopia? It was like it was in the Garden of Eden in the beginning. The word utopia. In the Greek, it means a blessed place. We look for a utopia here in the United States. Everybody actually in the world is looking for a utopia where they don't have to worry about bad things happening to them, and going through difficult times, and struggling from day to day because they can't make ends meet. In that boat, the disciples asked Jesus, "Are you awake? Do you understand what's going on?" They were afraid. And understand, they'd been with him. They'd been with him for years. He had been teaching them who he was. You see, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're not going to have fear. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're not going to be afraid, because you have to understand that Satan is at war with you. He will do everything in his power to destroy your influence and your relationship with the one who loves you. If he can bring heartache and disappointment and cause you misery in your life, that's what he wants. And he wants more than anything else to separate you from the one who created you. We sang the song this morning, "Master, the tempest is raging." And it is. Look at the world. How the bad things are happening. How that evil reigns. We have corrupt government. We have people who really don't care about other people. If you turn to Galatians chapter 5 and you read there the works of the flesh, there you see the corruptness of the world in which we live, because that's the attitude and that's the characteristic of people today. They went to Jesus. "Master, do you not care that we're perishing?" Jesus stands up in the boat and he quiets the storm. He had that power. But he also asked them a question. "Where's your faith? I've been with you so long, where's your faith?" Now, what did he mean by that? He was asking them, "I didn't expect you to respond to the situation that you find yourself in this boat in the way you did. I've been with you all this time, and yet, do you not know who I am?" They had the Son of God in the boat with them. You and I have the Son of God in our lives every day. Where's our faith? When we wake up in the morning and we go to bed at night, And we've had a hard day. A difficult day. A trying day. Where's our faith? You see, it's very difficult for us to totally and completely trust God. Proverbs 3, verse 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. That's hard to do. So many times we want to fix it, and it's not fixable. Utopia. Do I understand that there will never be a utopia? I don't care how hard man tries to make it. Whatever he tries to do in this earth, in the time in which we live, there will never, never be a utopia, because the only way there can be a utopia, and the way that is fixed, is when Jesus comes again, he brings it all together, he burns it up, he destroys it, he creates a new heavens and a new earth, and he resurrects your body, he puts it in that particular place where righteousness dwells, and there will no longer be death and tears and sorrow. But until that time comes, we live here now. That's the only utopia that there will ever be, is when Jesus comes again. Now, the disciples didn't understand who Jesus was, apparently, because he questioned. Do you not understand who's in the boat with you? Question. Do I not understand who's in the boat with me? Regardless of what happened, he's there. He walks with me. We sing that song. He talks with me. He's there to help me. My purpose is to serve my Lord. My responsibility is to acknowledge him as who he is. And he said that he will be with us. He tells us in John, I will not leave you orphaned. Again, he says that my Father and I will come to make our abode in you. In Hebrews 13:5, I will not forsake you. Remember that. Because that's so important in your life as you live every day. You meet people out there in the world who are not Christians, whose values are totally different than yours, who think totally different than you do, who want things that you don't want because they're not right, who do not walk in righteousness before God. I didn't say sinless. I said righteous. And what that means is to do what is right before God, regardless of what the world does. And that means I have to make right choices. You know, this old tabernacle gets tired. That's why we go to sleep. We wake up in the morning and we're refreshed, hopefully ready to meet the new day and the challenges that it brings. But we can never never do it by ourselves. We have to rely on the one who makes the life that we have possible. We live in a terrible world. But Jesus came for one purpose, to help us walk through this world to the other side and to receive what he has promised to us. You see, we live in hope. As a Christian, I always have the promise that God has made to me. Hope of expecting and receiving something. And that something is a place around his throne. But we have to live in this world now. Yes, the tempest is raging. Master, don't you care? Yes, he does. Let me ask you this question. As a Christian, if all you've got while you lived here upon this earth was the promise going home to be with him, and nothing else, would it be enough to praise him? You see, things don't matter. It's a life that matters. It's an attitude that matters. It's how we treat with one another that matters. And the one another passages in the scripture are there for a purpose. That's to help each one of us help each other get to heaven. The walk on this earth is difficult. We cannot live by ourselves. We need each other. There is a God who loves us. There is a God who sustains us. And Jesus came to prove that love and to always be there for you. Don't ever, ever give up on him. Regardless of the circumstances of life, always look to him. Keep your eyes on Jesus, and he will bless you. You know, we meet people all the time who want to go to heaven, but they want to go on their terms, and it doesn't work that way. If you go apply for a job, you know that your boss is going to have certain rules that you have to follow if you want the job. If you want to go buy a car, the finance company says, okay, here are the rules that you have to follow. If you don't meet them, you don't get the car. And the same is true of Jesus. I want to give you eternal life, but you have to follow my rules. I died for you to make possible your sins to be forgiven. And in the forgiving of your sins, when you come to me, I want you to die to the old man. I was buried in the earth. I want you to be buried in water. Now, when you go to that water, you need to understand that my blood was shed on my death. And I want you to contact my blood in that water. I'll take away your sin. Not only will I take away your sin, but I will give you something. I will give you the Spirit that comes from God. And it will seal you. It will guide you. It will comfort you. It will speak for you as you live your daily life. Now, if you want to go to heaven, then you must come to me on my terms. I want you to know that I love you. I've done all I can do. Now the choice is yours. Will you accept what I offer? All together we stand and sing.